Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Keith Engel, Chief Executive Officer at the South African Institute for Taxation, joins us. A very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Morning, House. Good to hear from you again.
It's nice to speak to you. So, in principle, has the notion of a sugar tax been successful or not?
Well, I question these things. I know that they're well-intended when they start out. The hope is instead of, you know, regulating it and putting like anti-sugar, you know, labels and all of that, the theory is if you raise the price, fewer people will take up the sugar. But the question really is does it make sense at the end of the day? What you're really worried about is fat. Now, you know, when people get fat, not just on sugar, but on too much starch, I mean, the basic diet of the average South African is not great. So there are side effects of these things. One is, as pointed out, that you'll be hurting jobs. Another one is people substitute. So is it a good intention? Well, theoretically, if we can deter people from eating too much, in theory, but I think the reality is not really shown very much. I'm not impressed.
Mm. And where does the tax, surely, does the tax just go into government coffers, or is it used for education, for around health?
Well, I think this is the problem with a number of these taxes. So this is not just the sugar tax issue. It's the cigarette tax. It's the alcohol tax. It's the plastic bag levy. None of these are ring-fenced. Treasury takes the view that you don't ring-fence money for certain reasons, which makes sense generally. The problem is that once government gets into their general revenue, they start getting very confused because are they trying to penalize or generate revenue? So, for example, when we stopped everybody from smoking and drinking, the revenue service had a heart attack because they lost all that revenue. So, you know, if you're going to reward yourself by punishing somebody else, all of a sudden the motives get confused.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you start asking yourself, is this really just a revenue raiser under a better disguise which will tolerate versus whether it's a deterrent?
And the talk about increasing it, is that for really about discouraging people from consuming more sugar, or is this simply because our government is desperate to find different ways to increase their revenue?
I think it depends on the day and depends on the person. But you do find that some people are motivated because they're looking to deter, and other ones suddenly say, oh, it's easy revenue. And you see, in this in where we are now in South Africa, we're looking for easy revenue. So instead of taxing people more on their income, we're saying, oh, you're a smoker, you're a drinker, you eat too much sugar, you're a gambler. And then that's easier for a minister to stand up and announce he's taxing them because people say, oh, those are bad people anyway. And so you're getting this way of hoping to get more revenue. So unfortunately, also, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, yes, okay, we understand that there's a rule, you know, drink it, don't, you know, eat it, don't drink it, because you can gain a lot more calories drinking. But on the other hand, there's a lot of other sugary drinks like milkshakes. A lot of these fruit drinks are very, very sweet. You know, what about candy? What about sugar itself? So it's an unfair tax. You're hitting one industry over another. So I'm not sure why. And a lot of people just put sugar in your tea. That's okay. But if you make the sugar part of your tea in an iced tea, then it's not okay. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
And has this had an impact, a negative impact on employment as well? Surely it must.
Yeah, well, clearly it's affected. And I don't think they fully understood that. It affected a lot of our sugar farmers. So the companies adjusted. You know, they made a smaller can or they made a whole bunch of adjustments.
Yes.
So the guys, they were the moral enemies they were thinking of. They didn't quite get. And then the farmers got hit very badly. And unfortunately, farming is a good employment industry. You know, so you're really hitting a lot of low-income people at the end of the day. And I don't think that's what they wanted. But, you know, it depends how you look at it. So it's the same thing with tobacco taxes. I'm sure it affects them, too. You're going after wine taxes as well. So there's a price to be paid. Just because you think it's evil doesn't mean that price isn't there.
Right. In fact, even how we look at how they spoke about the alcohol and cigarette taxes, calling them sin taxes. You know,
yes.
You can't be more obvious than that.
Exactly. And so again, we're taxing sinners, you see, and that makes it easy. And in a world where you're looking at all over the UK especially, where they're looking to, you know, find justification for taxes, it becomes easy to justify. But then again, the government gets addicted to the revenue. So then they start getting conflicted. They say, well, if I raise my taxes too much, well, then I'm not going to get the money. And are you, then really we start talking about banning things. So do we really want to go back to U.S. 1920s where we ban alcohol, we ban sugar, we ban, you know, cigarettes? You know, we're becoming a bit of a Puritan society where we're shaking our finger at a lot of people. There comes a point where we have a right to choose and we have to choose. Look, I'm not a big fan of a lot of, you know, sugar. I'm kind of a bit of a health nut, so for me it's not such a problem. But again, I just don't like this attitude of, you know, me telling someone else how to live their life.
Absolutely right. Roland says, scrounging for revenue while trying to look like the good guy. Roland says, I smoke, I drink, I eat copious amounts of chocolate. Stuff the government. That's according to Roland. And I guess that's kind of what you're saying, because when the government assumes a parental role, rather than the role that they've actually been elected and are being paid for a job, and they're actually not there to treat us like children and to be our parents, you get Roland's type of a reaction, which is kind of what my reaction would be. I also I'm not a smoker, but during the COVID smoking ban, it infuriated me because I thought it was such a irrational, bizarre, almost parenting move where you say, you know, you'll do this just because I said so, not because it's rational.
You know, absolutely. And you see this also, it's like, I think people want a freer society. It's like, well, people would never say, well, you're going to ban homosexuality or put a sin tax on that. You know, and at one time, in the United States anyway, you know, AIDS was prevalent more amongst gay people. So you could have done that. Now people would have said that's horrible, which it would have been.
Right.
Because now we're telling people how to live their lives. You know, now, and that's just not fair. Now, on the other hand, let's just go to the other extreme. We now want to legalize marijuana. Right?
Right?
Now, why does government want to legalize marijuana? What did Tito Mboweni say? He said, oh, well, if we legalize marijuana, we'll get all the taxes. So did you want us to do it or not do it? You know, and so you become a partner in the crime once you pick up the sin tax. But unfortunately, we're in a world of where we're getting more and more ideologically driven, where we want to parent each other and tell each other how to live our lives. And my feeling is like yours. You know, we understand you're well-intended, but at the end of the day, you got to let me do what I'm going to do, and you do what you want to do, and it's about freedom. And these things do sound like a nanny state.